Amen. That's a good thought, isn't it? That's why I love the old hymns. They teach doctrine. And, amen, the new stuff is about him, about them, and the old hymns are about him. And, amen, I enjoyed getting y'all stirred this morning. Amen. Good to see life. Good to see life, amen. And I believe a Christian ought to be passionate. I believe you ought to be passionate, amen. I believe you ought to have a little fire. If you ain't got a fire, you need to get alive. Amen. And as we looked into alcohol, we'll be covering this a little bit later. We'll be going verse by verse, and we're not going to cover all the verses, but we're going to cover a great many. Hopefully we'll be through and by December. And because it is a hot topic, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Now, we live in a generation of Christianity today where nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong. It's okay for a man to marry a man. Come on now. Amen. It's okay for a woman to marry a woman. Our education system doesn't mind if a man participates in women's sports. Come on now. That's where America's at. That's why you need to vote Tuesday.
Amen.
I believe that voting is a major part. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know how much our vote counts. But at least I believe if I vote, I got a right to gripe. Okay. Amen. And I'll probably do some griping. Amen. You say, well, we don't have anybody to vote for. Well, you know, nobody's perfect. And the best man in America has faults. Boy, y'all don't agree with that.
Right.
Amen. The best person in America has faults. Amen. We need to vote on what's best for our country and what's best for these young people that's going to be following.
Amen.
And look, we've let this thing slide way too far. Now, I'll be preaching tonight at New Bethel, and I'm going to be preaching along them lines. Amen. And it's an exciting time. You ought to vote. A lot of church folks say, well, my vote don't matter. It does matter. Every vote matters. Amen. To not vote is a vote for the wrong side. Amen. I believe there is a right side in this. The current administration is trying to take us into communism. Come on now. Trying to take us into communism. That's what all big government wants. I believe the Bible talks about a one world ruler. They want America like everybody else. I don't want America like everybody else. I don't want America to become Africa or Poland or any other third world country. Amen. I'm spoilt, I'm fat, I'm lazy. I like America. Come on now, I get amen there.
Right.
All right. It is good to have Brother Dale Butler with us. Amen. And he was my pastor. He tried, I guess, to help me. And I'm a little slow. Amen. But it's good to see you. We're so thankful you're here. And we hope you prayed for the service today, that God's will be done. And that's what it's all about, folks. It's not about entertainment. It's not about making us feel good where we're at. It's about getting the people right with God. Amen. That's the only hope for America. It's for God's people. Amen. The writer, the historian, Jason, in Chronicles said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. We need help. Y'all remember the statistics from last thing. 98,900 babies aborted in America every month. We spend $800 billion trying to recoup what alcohol has taken away. $800 billion. We have 2 million inmates incarcerated in America, 2.9 million on probation, and probably 100 times that much that should be in the jails. Come on. The average church now spending as much on missions in the prison ministry as there are any other mission. Come on now, it's okay. Amen. We need help. We need God. All right. Y'all ready? All right, we're going to pray, and Brother Randy's going to sing. I want you to help. Amen. 22 years. 22 years. Quite amazing. Seems like yesterday. Amen. I wish we could go back. 22 years ago, I didn't even know I had a body. Amen. I could just go. Now the only place I can go is to my easy chair or bed. Amen. Doesn't hurt me. All right, let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful for the grace of God. We ask that you would have your way in this service. Lord, you know the heart of each and every individual that's here. You know what we stand in need of. And Lord, I pray you'd meet the need of every heart. We thank you and we love you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, Brother Randy, want y'all to be singing now. Help him out.
Okay, we're going to turn over to page 327. 327, talking about higher ground this morning.
Thank you.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Amen.
Jason, would you come? We're going to take up our Sunday morning tithes and offerings to give as the Lord has gave unto us. Amen. God is good. Pray for us, Jay.
Well, we please up for a deal with the message today. Lord, help those mention, not mention, or prayer list, Lord. Pray. Amen.
Amen. In a dispensation where a lot of people is not happy. And sometimes it's not always easy to trust God. The old preachers used to say you got to learn to trust God when you can't trace him. It's one, do you got one? We got a special, and then we're going to have my pastor preach for me. And amen. It's good to have a pastor you still like. Amen.
Daniel found him faithful in a lion's den. He sent fire down from heaven when Elijah called on him And though Joseph was forsaken, he was rewarded with a throne. Yes. And when David felt his heart break, he could sing this song. Every need supplied, every moment satisfied. Every time I call his name, I know I'll find him just the same. And if you've gone out on a limb, or your way it may seem dim, don't give up and don't give in, casting all your care upon him. He said we could move mountains with the faith of a mustard seed. So I know my God is able to meet my every need. Then one day when all the blood-washed saints will gather round the throne, and in anthem sweet crowns at his feet, we'll sing it on and on. Every need supplied, every moment satisfied. Every time I call his name, I know I'll find him just the same. And if you've gone out on a limb, or your way it may seem dim, don't give up and don't give in, casting all your care upon him.
Psalmist said, I once was young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. All right, Barry, you come.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. alive, he's coming back.
Amen.
Amen. It is good to see you. We're so thankful that you came. Enjoyed the special music. Wished I could sing. Amen. There's some people that can't sing and don't know it. There are some people that can't sing and do know it. I'm one of them. Amen. I remember Brother Dale, his wife, when we were at Riverview, we had that Patch the Pirate thing, mm-hmm. and we was downstairs, and mm-hmm. his sweet wife, which I love, said, if I catch you trying to help the kids sing, I'm going to have Dale church you. Amen. It's good to have Brother Dale Butler with us. He's been a pastor for several years, and I still
Amen,
love him.
Brother Mike. Amen. God bless your heart, man. Is this my water here? Good. I took the chewing tobacco out, so that's good. Well, let's turn to Joshua 24:15, if you'll turn there with me. It's good to be back. Whoever keeps the church up clean and inside and out looks great. Thank you for that. And thank you for the privilege of being back here again with you at Solid Rock Baptist Church. I am glad you're here today. Did you know it's a misdemeanor if you miss church? The more you miss, the meaner you get. Say amen. And somebody told me we just took up an offering a while ago. Somebody said all three met up at the shredder at the end of their lives. The $100 bill says, I've seen the whole world during my lifetime. Well, I've been on cruises to the Caribbean. I've been to Africa on safaris. I've been to vacations in Europe. $20 bill says, well, I haven't done quite as well, but I have been to Atlantic City, Disneyland, and Starbucks. They both turned to the $1 bill and asked, and how about you? Now, wanting to be outdone, he says, I've seen the whole country as well. I've been from church to church to church to church. The $100 bill said, what's a church? Amen. Somebody said, how do you know if you're mentally competent? I'm from North Carolina. I'm a Tar Heel by birth. Not ashamed of that. And a big Carolina fan. And there's a hillbilly up in North Carolina that died and went to heaven. And Peter met him at the gate and says, listen, you gotta answer three questions before I let you in. He said, what are they? He said, well, number one, what two letters of the week begin with the letter T? He said, that's easy. Today and tomorrow. Guy scratched his head at me and said, how many seconds are there in a year? He said, that is easy too. There's 12. It's January the 2nd, February the 2nd, March the 2nd. If you really want to know, there's 31,536 seconds in a year. But, and then the last, he said, what is God's last name? He said, oh, that's the best one of all. He said, his last name is Andy. And he said, Andy? He said, yeah, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me I'm his own. Amen? I heard there was some guys that was a man that was at this psychiatrist conference. And he walks up to one of the doctors and says, how can you tell if somebody's mentally incompetent? He said, that's easy. You just ask them one question that everybody in here would know. He said, like what? He said, like Captain Cook sailed around the world three times and died on one of his trips. Which one was it? And the guy looked at him and said, you know, I wasn't good in history. Have you got another question? There's two guys named Rufus and Doofus. They've been in a mental asylum a long time. And once a year, the superintendent of the place would bring them down and ask somebody in the building two questions. If they answered them correctly, they were free to go. So Rufus and Doofus was called. They went down and sitting in the hallway there on some chairs. And the superintendent comes down and asks for Rufus first. Rufus goes in and sits down in front of the big desk of the superintendent. And he says to him, superintendent says, I want to ask you two questions. And you answer them correctly, you can leave. And he looked at Rufus and said, if I poke out your right eye, what would you be? He said, well, I'd be half blind. And so he said, okay. If I poke out your left eye, what would you be? He said, I'd be totally blind. He stood up, shook his hand, said, "You're free to go." About that time he walked out, he whispered to Doofus the two questions and the two answers. Doofus comes in and sits down before that big, in front of that big mahogany desk, and he says, "Doofus, if I cut off your right ear, what would you be?" He said, "I'd be half blind." He said, "If I cut off your left ear, what would you be?" He said, "I'd be totally blind." And he said, "Why would you be blind?" He said, "My hat wouldn't stay on my head." Say amen. So, well, I got a lot of mentally competent people. Amen. I want you to look today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit. And when Brother Mike asked me about coming here, I started looking at this passage of Scripture. It's one problem that's hanging in your kitchen, you ladies. And I do appreciate the music was given. These two people that sing can't do this. A lot of people can't do this. I've heard a lot of music. The only reason it's halfway decent in the song, because they got some big music drowning out their voice. So make you sing a cappella, I commend you for that. Look at Joshua 24:15. The Bible said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I see five things real quickly in here. Introduction I'll give you. It was a purposeful choice. It means having or showing determination. It was deliberate. It was intentional. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It was a pressing choice. The Bible says, "As for me and my house, I'll choose this day that we will serve the Lord." So it is an urgent message. This day. Now is accepted time. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the day of salvation. He goes even more so than just the day. He even gets down to the time, the hour. That's so important. It's also a precise choice. It's very clear. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's either black or white. There's no gray. It's either you're either for or you're against. There's no fence setting. It's either obedience or disobedience. Someone said destiny is not a matter of chance, but of choice. And then I see here it was a personal choice. And four pronouns are mentioned in this verse: you, ye, me, and my. And so it's a personal choice you make. Joshua said, "As for me and in my house, we will serve the Lord." We're going to serve Christ. One of the probably the most important question about ask you is the choice you got on this question. And it was a question asked to Pilate in Matthew 27:22. "And what shall I do?" He turned to the crowd and he said, "And what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" You got a choice with that today. Every man, every woman, boy and girl's got that choice. And then it was a parental choice. I like this. "As for me and my house, we will." You want to go to Sunday school? You want to go to church today? That's like asking a kid, "Do you want to go to the dentist, or you want your teeth to rot out and fall out? Do you want to go to the doctor? Do you want to go to school, or you want to be dumb all your life?" And here he says, he's like Abraham. Abraham said, God said, "I know him. I know what he'll do with his children. Follow me. I got to keep on going and serving the Lord and make right choices, because I got some under my umbrella here that I'm responsible for. It looks up to me." And so it's so important we make the right choices, parents, that we will continue to serve the Lord. He was the male. I'll clarify something Mike mentioned a while ago. He was a male parent that was a father. Say amen. And he was the leader of his house. And he was leading by example. Brother Lester Olof said, "Any woman would submit to a godly husband if a husband would just live godly." And I think it's true with children. They don't have a problem with submission. I never had all that problem growing up with the terrible twos and the teens and all that kind of stuff. We tried to set the example before them in love. Did you have to discipline them? Yeah, I discipline them sometime. I walked in one day at a house we got in Tuscaloosa, the church furnished for us, and there's a nice new brick home, 3,200 square feet. They just painted all the inside of the whole house. And my youngest daughter, Gina, who's in Ohio now, her and her husband work in a church there in ministry. And I was sitting there reading a chapter out of one of Spurgeon's books. Cheryl was in the kitchen, it was all open together, and she was cooking. We didn't walk Suzanne, who's a nurse in Calhoun County, and the oldest one, and she walks in, she's about 4 or 5 years old. She said, "Daddy, somebody's colored on the wall." She knew not the tattletale, and I said, "Okay, it wasn't me, I'm sitting here reading." I looked at Miss Cheryl, and I said, "Did you cook?" She said, "No, I've been here cooking." And I looked at Suzanne, I said, "Do you know who did it?" And she said, "Yeah." So we went back there and looked, and I'm telling you the honest truth. There's 64 crayons in that big box of Crayola crayons. She used every single one of them down to the nub, all over that place. And so finally, I looked down at her, and I said, "Now, Gina, did you color on the wall?" And she looked up at me, little tears in her eyes. She said, "No, sir." I said, "I'm going to get the truth out of this kid." And I said, "I didn't do it. I was in the den reading, and your mama didn't do it. She was cooking." So I looked at Suzanne again. I said, "Suzanne, did you color on the wall?" She said, "No, but I know who did." So I looked down at Gina again, and I said, "Gina, just tell Daddy the truth. Just be honest and tell me the truth. That's all I want you to do. Did you color on this wall?" And she looked at me, tears in her eyes, about 2.5 years old, looked up and said, "No." I'm thinking, how am I going to get the truth out of this youngin'? So I jumped back and I said, "Wow, that's a beautiful mural. Who painted this?" She said, "I did." And I said, "We're born, we got choices, and we're born sinners, amen. But parents are supposed to lead by example. Choices that we make." Somebody said this: "Our choices have consequences, and that's why it's important to us that we choose wisely. Once upon a time, there was a man who lived with his wife, two small children, and his elderly parents in a tiny hut. He tried to be patient and gracious, but the noise and the crowded conditions just wore him down. In desperation, he consulted the village wise man and said, 'Do you have a rooster?' asked the wise man. 'Yes,' he replied. 'Well, keep the rooster in the hut with your family and come and see me next week.' The next week, the man returned and told the wise elder that the living conditions were worse than ever before when the rooster crowed and made a mess inside the hut. And then the wise elder said, 'Do you have a cow?' And the man nodded fearfully. He said, 'Take your cow to the hut as well and come and see me next week.' Over the next several weeks, the man, at the advice of the wise elder, made room for a goat, two dogs, and his brother's children. Finally, he could take it no more. In a fit of anger, he kicked out his guests, leaving only his wife and his children and his parents. Then suddenly, at home became a spacious and quiet place, and everyone lived happily ever after." What I'm saying, be content with what you got. When God raises your standard of living, you raise your standard of giving. And if you'll do that and do that to the local church, God will continue to bless you and bless you and bless you. I pulled up a while ago, but David, at a 2024 Toyota Corolla. I've been driving that car a solid year. I ain't paid for anything, tires, oil change, nothing on that car. You say, "Who gave it to you?" Team One Toyota in Rainbow City. He said, "Did they give you a car to drive like that?" That's November the 2nd, 2023. I said, "About a year now, I guess, isn't it?" And I took a Toyota Prius. Anybody know what a Toyota Prius is? It had 400,417 miles. I took it for an oil change. That was my 94th oil change on that car, every 5,000 miles. And so he comes, he said, "Mr. Butler, I didn't like what I saw. I was using a little bit of oil." He said, "Can you drive 1,200 miles and bring it back?" And I did. He said, "It used a half quart oil." He said, "Drive 1,200 miles and bring it back." And I did. He said, "And usually a whole quart, so we got to get that engine replaced." I said, "Okay." And he said, "You buy that here?" I said, "I bought it here. Nobody else has owned this car but me." He said, "Well, you got powertrain warranty, your engine's free." I said, "Okay." And it was about $6,500, $7,000. I said, "Okay." So they gave me this brand new 2024 to drive. and I've been driving it for a solid year. Is your car ready? No. When's it going to get ready? I don't know, and I don't care. Say amen. And so I've been in 15 states, been to Ohio 3 times, been to Mississippi, I've been to Georgia, been to North Carolina twice, and on, Pennsylvania. And I just, every time I get, I said, thank you, Lord, for the new car. And so the Lord's got ways of blessing you, taking care of you, and other kind of ways, you know. We all have choices that we make. Life is full of choices. What to wear, what to eat, what to watch, what to drive, where to live. But what does it mean to choose? Webster's Dictionary defines it this way. To select freely after due consideration. To choose is deliberate. It's not by chance. You're approaching an intersection. You're late. You're in a hurry. The light changes. Now what do you do? What consequences do you reap from your actions? You're at a banquet and you're eating. Somebody says something vulgar at the table. What do you do? You're on a diet. You've filled up with salad and your green foods, and you want to sneak a candy bar and eat that candy bar. What do? You go through a red light, you get a ticket. You eat sweets and get cavities and put on weight. You have sex outside of marriage and it's a death sentence, maybe a venereal disease. Every action has a consequence. You rob a bank, you go to jail. You lie on your taxes, you get caught. You tithe and reap and don't tithe and say, why me, Lord? Why am I always broke? Because you're not honoring the Lord with your first fruits. And so if God blesses you, you bless other people and bless the church with what God has given you. We're faced with choices all the time. The only thing I can say with certainty is about choices is choose wisely. Think about what you do before you make that decision. We allow ourselves sometimes to be influenced by people and sometimes by circumstances. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes it's tragic. Somebody said we're strange people. We love, Brother Mike, the counsel of man, which we talked about this week. We love the counsel of man, but we seldom seek the counsel of God. Amen. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Yet we keep asking the worldly advice. And if you believe everything that you see on the evening news, you got some trouble, amen, in your mind up here. And you're thinking rationally. We choose to sue our brothers. We choose to avoid the poor. We choose to cheat on this and that. We choose to lie. We choose to steal. We love unjust gain. We're greedy. We sue has become our motto. Every auto accident is a chance for score, a windfall of unrighteous gain. It's almost as we've convinced ourselves that God is either not watching or he just doesn't care. The Bible says in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added. Do we make that choice? Do we do that? Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do we hold him in awe and do we ask him for wisdom in our lives? John Maxwell said this, life is a matter of choices and every choice you make makes you. Roy Bennett said this, you cannot control the behavior of others, but you can always choose how you respond to it, to that situation. When something bad happens, you have 3 choices. You either let it define you let it destroy you, or you let it strengthen you. Anne Frank said this, our lives are fashioned by our choices. First we make our choices, then our choices make us. Gary Vanderfelt said this, your legacy is being written by yourself. That's why we must make the right choices. God honors what you're doing today. God honors faithfulness. And as Miss Wanda sang a while ago, Daniel remained faithful to God, even to the point he was even willing to die, because he knew that God was with him and could deliver him from his enemies and had the power to do that if need be, even from the lions. All choices have consequences. So we make God-honoring choices, faithful to God and doing what is right. The highest character choices are based on truth and faithfulness and commitment to the Lord. So I say today, dare to be a Daniel. And let me say this to you, since we already brought this subject up, and I'm voting. You got a choice in 2 days, don't you? A big choice. I read this the other day, and I thought this was very good. Listen to your vote speaking. Why do we got to go vote? What's important about that? Why do I got to just stay home? I talked to two guys the other day, good guys, big conservative guys, believe like you and I believe. And they're going to vote conservatively. And so I knew that, and I got talking to them. I said, now, where do you go vote? And both them boys hugging their heads down. And I said, yeah, I've known y'all for years. I said, you vote last year? No. Year before that? No. We've never voted. Believe like you and I believe, and yet never have voted. Listen to your vote speaking. I am your vote, small yet fierce, quiet yet capable of roaring into action when you choose to cast me. I carry your beliefs and your dreams and your hopes for a better tomorrow, all within a simple mark on a ballot. When you give me life, I'm transformed into a voice that matters, a voice that speaks on behalf of your values, convictions, and vision for the world. I'm not just a number. I'm a declaration of what you believe should be and could be in America. When you cast me, I join others, creating a chorus of voices that cannot be ignored. Together, we become a force that moves mountains, inspires leaders, and reshapes communities. And I can be the tiebreaker, the decider, a close race, the very difference between progress and standing still. And Jason, I don't, he probably knows this, but since he knows history, Abraham was elected by one vote. Adolf Hitler got in as the Nazi leader, tyrant, by one vote. Our votes do count. Somebody said it may seem like a drop in an ocean, but each drop together forms waves. Waves have power to wash over systems, challenge injustices, and bring to light the places that have long been dark. What if I don't vote? If it's left uncast, I fall silent. I become a missed opportunity, a light that could have shown a path of ways to be explored. When you unexplored, when you withhold me, you allow others to decide the future that you live in. I am left as a reminder of what you could have been, a whisper that goes unheard, an influence that fades before it ever has a chance. Remember, I am your vote. I am small, yet mighty. I am humble, yet powerful. When you give me purpose, I become a legacy, a part of the fabric of history, woven together with countless others who dare to believe that they could make a difference. Cast me this Tuesday in 2 days, and together we can build and challenge and change the world for future generations. And if it don't happen, it goes the other direction Tuesday, I'm still going to do what's right. Say amen. And I'm going to honor God. People in the Bible, a lot of them just made one bad choice. Just one. I got a pen out yesterday morning early, and I started, said, Lord, give me something. Let's start with Genesis. First one to put down is probably what you're thinking right now. Adam and Eve made one choice of eating the forbidden fruit. And look what happens. It plunged the whole human race into sin. Millions ignored the message of judgment from the man of God named Noah about the worldwide flood and chose not to believe him and get inside that ark. And you know what happened? Lot choosing the lush green fertile grass of Sodom to raise his cattle. Lester Roloff said Sodom was a great place to raise cows. It was a terrible place to raise gals. Sarah refusing to believe God's promise and recommended Abram over to marry Hagar, and Israel still suffering from that to this day with Ishmael and the Muslim people. Cain choosing to allow his rage of jealousy to kill his own one and only brother. Joseph's 10 brothers who chose to sell their brother into slavery to an idolatrous country. Pharaoh refusing multiple times to allow the children of Israel freedom from resulting in 10 plagues that fell upon his people. David made one bad decision when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and ended up orchestrating the death of her husband Uriah. And according to scripture, with Nathan the prophet, God strongly rebuked David for his actions. Ananias and Sapphira both made one bad decision and paid their own lives with it, and was buried right outside the church for lying to God. Now, really, the money wasn't the issue. The issue was about lying to the Lord. And that's why I'm going to mention a few things here this morning, why I have decided to follow Jesus. It's the choice I make. The other day, one of my granddaughters sent me a text and said, "Pappy, can you talk to me about the Trinity some?" I talked to my youth pastor, my dad, and some friends, but I want to know your thoughts on the Trinity. So I text her back, and we did text back and forth for 3 or 4 days. And then she wrote me a note and said, "Thank you, Pappy, for explaining that to me." And then a few months later, she sent me a southern text. She said, "Tell me about the pre-tribulation and the rapture." And so we corresponded back and forth again. And I'm glad, you know, she's taking interest in this, you know. And we went back and forth together, and there's a sweet little note at the bottom. And she thanked me again, said, "Pappy, thank you for all the time," and give me the verses. She said, "I just want to know, are you praying that God would send the right man in my life to marry?" I said, "Ever since you were born, honey, since you were born, I've been praying that way." Izzy's in college now at Pensacola Christian College in London. I got two grandkids there in college. And Izzy, I sent her a little note and sent her a picture of Ulysses S. Grant. Amen. Trying to help them out a little bit. I'm not paying their bill. I'm just trying to help them now and then. And she said, "Thank you, Pappy, and we love you. Thank you for your influence and all this kind of stuff." And at the bat, she put on the bottom, "I'll try not to bring a young man home every time I come in, LOL." So you better not be, amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. Here's the reasons I've decided to follow Jesus. It's the great debt I owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. We needed someone to take it away. I got a great debt I owe. I want to follow Jesus. And I've decided to follow Him because of that. I have a great duty. I got it by command from the Bible. I got it by commission on my call to preach in the gospel ministry. Not only is there a great debt and duty, there's a great desire I possess. I want to be in the will of God, and I want to do the work of God, and I want to be found faithful. I'm not looking for an undertaker, even though I am one. Licensed for the state of Alabama, 05930. I'm looking for the upper taker. But if I go by the way of the grave, or I go by glory up to heaven in the rapture, I want to be found faithful serving God. These kids are looking up to you. What are we going to provide for them in the future? You better think about that when you go into them polls Tuesday. You're not making a decision just for you. My grandson asked me one day, he's 20 now, he's about 16, 17, he said, "Pap, will I ever grow up like you did and have the kind of life like you did?" I said, "Son, I wish I could tell you you would, but I'm telling you, it's not looking that way right now." I said, "You just live for God and take a stand for what's right." The great difference I make, a difference to my sweet spouse, make the house you have the home you want. I've seen people go buy houses, big, nice houses. I went by one today in Horton's Bend, was 10,200 square feet. 6-car garage, 3 stories, elevator in the house, and 2 people live there. And somebody may ride by and said, I like to have a home like that. How you know it's a home? It's not a home unless love is there. It's not a home unless there's a man and a wife trying to raise the children and serve and honor the Lord. And so I've got to make a difference to my spouse. I've got to make a difference to my seed, my children that follow after me. I remember Suzanne and Matt, my oldest ones, they got married right after college and master's degrees. And 2 years later, they had my first grandson, and they had the granddaughter. And the one up in Ohio went 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. No youngins. So I called up to Ohio, and I said, "Hey, Gina, what's going on, babe?" I said, "We don't have no godly seed up in Ohio. We need some godly seed on the earth. You got to get busy here." And she said, "Daddy, you told us to get financially ahead and get to know one another real good before we got married." I said, "Yeah, but you don't need to show up at state patrol office getting kids' driver's license in a hover around. You got to get on the ball." And she's got 3 now. Say amen. And so a difference it makes with our children. to our seed. Our seed is loaned to us by God. They look to us for an example. They leave home a lot easier than you think. And it's important about, somebody said this, anybody remember Vance Havner from North Carolina? Billy Graham said Vance was the most quoted Baptist preacher in the world. Here's what he said, why should I go to church? Evangelist Vance Havner told a story about a wild Canadian goose who left the flock as it was flying towards northward on a spring day. The goose saw a farmer's chicken, a chicken lot where life was easy and where food was distributed every day. The goose settled in and spent the summer there with those chickens. When fall arrived, the goose saw his familiar goose friends flying south for the winter, and he tried desperately to join them, only to find he was now too fat from eating the chicken feed to get off the ground. The goose spent the next winter in the chicken coop, and the following spring, when he heard the cries from his old friends flying north again, the goose didn't even bother to lift up his head and look. He had no desire to fly again. Havner said the next time that goose went swimming, it was in his own gravy. He said there are plenty of distractions to keep you from going to church. And there are excuses that you may consider just and right causes. The Lord Jesus examines these excuses in Matthew 8 and 9 and Luke 14. None of these excuses are valid. They're all given in excuses for refusing to follow the Master's will. Canadian geese were born to be free, not to be cooped up with chickens. I find the commandment for believers in Hebrews 10, he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day. Be faithful to God as the closer we get to Him coming back. So I want to make a difference in my life, to my family and to my friends and to those that are in need. And so a difference to, I want to make a difference to saints, godly saints. I want to be an encouragement. When you come to the house of God, I like what we did a while ago. The Bible said they reason among themselves in the Scriptures, and that's good. But when we come to the house of God, we want to be an encouragement. We laughed when I first came in about some stuff, didn't we, when I first came in? We want to be encouragement. You don't look at somebody Sunday morning in church, you wore that last week, didn't you? Well, that ain't no encouragement to them. And somebody said, you got something you say, you're not encouraged. Be an encouragement, a builder up of the faith. And somebody said, we need to learn to value people. Jesus learned to value the blind man, the 10 lepers, the two sisters that lost their brother, a widow and her son, a dying thief on the cross, gave resurrected hope because he wanted to encourage and value people. And then the results of our decision. We need to establish some priorities in our life and discover the will of God while doing it, and then accomplish that will and honor Him. We need to establish some principles. Somebody said this, we need to tempt whatever God wants. We need to avoid whatever God demands to avoid. So you got a decision to make today. Everybody has decisions and choices that they make in life. In closing, let me give you a few thoughts here and I'll pray. God uses some things to try to straighten out people that get away from God. Sometimes He does use prophets. He may use Brother Mike here to try to help you some way. And God, thank God for men of God that'll speak the truth. He used Elijah to King Ahab. He used Samuel to King Saul. He used Nathan to King David. And let me tell you, remember the sons of Korah in the Bible? Be careful what you say about the man of God. I was told as a young teenager in high school after I got saved, don't you go against the man of God. You leave that in God's hands. Korah and his family thought him and his friends could do what they wanted to, and God opened a pit and swallowed him up and his wife and kids and everybody at one time. And the Bible said they mentioned in the book of Numbers that they went against Moses, against Moses, the man of God, and against the Lord. Somebody said, he may not even use a person. God can rebuke you for wrong choices through His creation. God used a whale to straighten somebody out, didn't He? Remember his name? Jonah was the first person to ever had a waterbed. and he stayed 3 nights in the Whale Motel. God may use a rooster to convict your heart. He did the Apostle Peter. God may use a donkey. His name's not Mr. Ed either, but he was the first talking donkey in the Bible. And what surprised me so much about that with Balaam, after he hit him the third time, the donkey started speaking, and Balaam didn't go, "A talking donkey." He just started arguing back with the donkey again. God's got ways to straighten us out. God may use the sounds of sheep baaing and cows mooing to reveal the offer choice of a king that King Saul had made. And Samuel said, "I hear some sounds. I told you to utterly destroy everything." God may use poisonous serpents to kill many of your friends, as these disobedient Hebrews that were killed because they disrespected the man of God. I like this writer that wrote the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, and we're getting fewer and fewer, aren't we? Yeah. Still I will follow. Though none go with me, I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I like the last verse. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I gave this at the hardest funeral I ever preached was my baby sister. She was 13 years younger than me. Beautiful, blonde-headed, vibrant young girl that loved God. Two boys still in school, and somehow cancer got a hold of her. And I remember us sitting there in the house. This is 3 weeks before she died. They let me go home every month for two or three days to see her. And we got to talking a little bit, and I said, "Darla, what are you thinking about right now?" She said, "I was thinking it's not the amount of," she's died at 45. She says, "It's not the amount of years that you live on this earth is important. It's the life you put in those years." And I've tried, she said, "to the best of my ability, not to waste my years." Somebody wrote a song about that, didn't they? Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how, don't waste your years. Invest your years and give the right choices. Romans 14:7, "No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself." So we leave a legacy behind, whether good or bad. Live a life that matters. Someone said, "Ready or not, someday it will come to an end. There'll be no more sunrises, no minutes and hours or days. All the things you collected, whether treasures or trinkets, will pass to someone else. Your wealth and fame and temporal power will shrivel to irrelevance. It won't matter what you owned or who you owed. Your grudges, resentments, and frustrations and jealousy will finally disappear. So will your hopes and ambitions and plans and to-do lists will expire. The wins and losses that wouldn't seem important will fade away. It won't matter whether you came from or what side of the tracks that you lived on. It won't matter whether you're beautiful or brilliant. Your gender and skin color will be irrelevant. But what will matter? How will your value be measured?" Someone said it this way: "What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. It's every act of integrity and compassion and sacrifice that has enriched, empowered, and encouraged others to emulate your example. It's not your competence, but your character. It's not how many people you knew, but how many people is going to feel a lasting loss once you're gone. What will it is not your memories, but the memories that live on and those who loved you. Living a life that matters doesn't happen by circumstance. It happens by choice." You ought to determine if you're not saved. Get that settled in your heart before you leave this place. Yes. Don't leave until you know that you know that you know. As you looking at a preacher, it's going to tell you the truth, just like your pastor. It's either heaven or hell. That's the choices you got. It's what you do with Jesus here that makes the difference. And then if you're saved, you know the Lord. Y'all determine this point on, God, help me to make the right choices, to make do the right decisions, and give me wisdom, grant me wisdom, help me to make those decisions that will honor and glorify you in your life. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this time we can share the Word of God and share about choices. Lord, I'm pushing 70, but I want to continue to make more than ever. I want to make the right choices. I've been reading a book lately on grandparenting by grace, of the balance between what Proverbs talks about, what the fathers and the need to leave, the grandfathers need to leave to their children's children or their grandchildren, and what's the most important things in life. I pray that you help us, that we'd make choices that will honor and glorify you in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mike, you come ahead and close.